It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. We begin right now the aftermath of the Raiders' loss to Kansas City, the world champions, as we are live on Raider Nation Radio. We are live on YouTube, where we got some good people in there already chatting it up. And we got a big week of radio in front of us because we have nowhere else to go. We have nowhere else to go. Man, the boat's out there. Coast Guard ain't coming. We're out there, not looking for the drones or the Coast Guard. I got to figure out how to get back to shore. And that's the focus of the monologue brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. Yes, I went back to the Great American Pub, and a buddy in town showed him it all right there in Buffalo. We watched a little college football, and what a weekend I had. I'll tell the story a little bit later on. I went to L.A. to watch my Yankees lose the biggest loss of my life. That's something. The biggest loss of my life. I went to live Friday night at Dodger Stadium. I was one out away. One out. Not one inning. Not one inning where you got to get three outs. No. I was one out away in full Yankee gear with my 21-year-old son. We went to the promised land. And I suffered the biggest loss of my life. That was Friday. Saturday, I had to get through airports, get home. And then Sunday, I was live from the torch and on the field. And I really thought the Raiders could have beat Kansas City. Definitely could have. Again, how many times can I say coulda, shoulda, woulda? We don't do that type of radio. But anyone in that building yesterday, anyone, will come on this show and defend the right that we could have if we just did a number of things, but not too many things. And lose 27-20. And lose 31-3. They had the lead in the game. Lead in the game, which seems to be a big topic for me on Mondays. And I truly believe we could have won the game. I don't think there's anybody, even my detractors, even my trolls, who are saying, oh my God, here he goes. He's making it up that they could have won. No, even my detractors will tell you we could have won that game. Could have won that game in a bunch of different ways, the way we played it out, but we couldn't win the game. The Raider Nation could not win the game for a variety of reasons. And that will be the focus of the show today. Okay, a couple of rules. Bobby says, yeah, why, well, rules. We never had rules back in the day. Well, we never had a flagship radio station in Vegas, remember, Bobby? We had a national show on Sports Fan. I do the national show. We never had a Raider flagship station. It's a baby. We're a baby here. But we got to give people rules because the people now are starting to get unhinged. They're starting to get unhinged. Unhinged. Everybody at the torch yesterday was beautiful, man. Eric Allen took like 200 selfies, pictures everywhere, people coming up on stage with us. We had one of the better alumni turnouts I could ever remember, which wasn't an alumni weekend. You know, we get 240 alumni in at the Wynn Field Club in the preseason. That we don't do the pregame show from the torch. Yesterday, I saw Jerry Robinson, Reggie Kinlaw. The list went on and on. Swervin' Mervin Fernandez. Ted Hendricks was in the building. We had Jim Plunkett and Donald Penn live from the torch. And then I went on the field, and I'm just seeing everybody again. I mean, all the celebrities and the stars were out, and the Raiders had a 10-7 lead. 10-7. They weren't down 10-7. They were up 10-7. So what I find myself doing on every Monday broadcast is reminding everybody, stop. Don't tell me the Raiders weren't ready to play. Don't tell me they weren't ready. You're wrong. They're up 10-7. You're wrong. You're wrong. The Raiders were prepared. Good team meeting. I think they were late, Bobby. I didn't tell you this. I was in the tunnel after we did the Eric Allen. I'm now 1-2 with the microphone. We beat Cleveland. We lose to Pittsburgh and Kansas City. But we do our job. We try to get the fans our key to the game. And then I go in the tunnel, and they were late. And it wasn't anybody's fault. I think they were in the locker room. I got to get confirmation. They were popping. And when they came out, usually they introduce a unit. Hey, a tight end or a defensive end. No, they all just ran to the bench. They were late. And I think they were late because they were rocking in the locker room ready to play this game. They had everything ready to go. So I believe, because I was on the field, we deferred. like we're good enough to defer. right? We're good enough to defer, but, hey, that's a coach's decision. That doesn't win or lose the game. And they come out and they get the ball on the opening drive and they just tattoo us. They go right down the field. So I chart the game on my phone and I just put in moments in the game. And I'm going to go through a little bit of my chart with you on the game and what happened, because I don't want to blow a gasket here in the monologue. I don't want to blow a gasket. We've got a long week ahead of us. I'm thinking of the bye week. I'm going to see my parents next week. I haven't seen them in a long time. So I'm going to see my mom and dad back east. And we're going to get through this week of shows before I hit the road for the bye week. So they get the ball and they come out and they just obliterate us. So what was my takeaway on the opening drive? Biggest one of the show. We didn't guard Kelce. Holy, holy God. I couldn't believe it. How many times have you heard me say to the coaches, the players, but most importantly, you, the fans, what do I tell you? You got to put your hands on who? Kelce. Just put your hands on him. I don't care what happens. If you put your hands on him and he turns and makes a play, right out of the gate, Kelce down the middle of the field like a doe in the forest and no one even looking at him. And he catches a big gain, and I said that couldn't possibly happen because, number one, there was no one guarding him. Number two, no one hit him at the line of scrimmage. No one did anything, and that can't be right. What happened there? How could that possibly happen? So that was my first red flag. Big red flag, storm a-brewing. How can Kelce, who's been irrelevant this year, other than his podcast with his brother and dating Taylor Swift, how can he catch a ball over the middle of the field? So right there I said to myself two things. We're not guarding Kelce today. And I got a better story on that one. And number two, the middle of the field's wide open. Uh-oh, we got a problem here. So they get the ball, they come down there, and they score. And they take off, and they have the lead 7-0. Now, the game can go two ways after that. The Raiders could get boat raced and just humiliated, or the Raiders could come back. So the Raiders get the ball, and they come out on their first drive, and I think it was the best drive of the year. Or one of the best drives of the year, top two. They go the length of the field. Brock Bowers is involved heavily. I'll get to that in a minute. I believe his first three receptions were first downs. And Minshew and Getsy, right, we're going to give Getsy some love here because I'm dealing with some people that have nothing but anger and they can't give credit to anybody. Like, they can't give credit to anybody. But the opening drive, how could you not give credit to Getsy? The play calling was fabulous. The drive was executed perfectly. You could say it was scripted. Absolutely, it was scripted. So everything went well there. Then they go up 10-7. And I'm like, man, look at my wife and son. I'm hanging out with my buddy Joe. I sit with Joe. He's in a wheelchair with his wife and son. I sit in that handicap area, 132, fans coming up to me. There's Fabian to my left, a couple guys. I go, hey, man. We look good. And the thing I remember saying the most, because my brain is just in a fog after working last night to 11 and the Gannon interview today at 8:30 in the morning, which I love. I remember telling fans at that time, wow, how cool is this? They're playing well and we're playing well. Just what I wanted all year. An entertaining football game for those in the building. A lot of Kansas City fans. A lot of Raider fans. I know you want it to be all Raiders. You forget we're not in Ames, Iowa. We're in Vegas. There's going to be fans here. I know it. I just talked to Steph McKenzie about it for 10 minutes. And I go, wow, we finally accomplished our goal, Bobby. We have an entertaining and fun football game. They scored. We scored. They look great. We look great. That's kind of cool. We don't have to kill Kansas City on the first drive. So there I'm going. I'm in a good place. Wow, we got a good entertaining football game. And Brock's playing well. I'm like, wow, Brock's playing well. Well, Kansas City ended up, I believe, 12 of 16 on third down. So early in the game, Robert Spillane got injured. Severely, it looked bad. We went over it on the TV show today, which airs at 1 on Fox 5 if you're in Vegas. And I thought Spillane was done for the year. Done for the year. He came off the field. He couldn't put pressure on his foot, ankle, knee, whatever it was. They took him in the blue tent, and I looked at my oldest son. I said, he's done for the year. The guy looks like he can't. I thought they were going to cart him off the field. He comes out of the blue tent. He plays. I go, oh, my God. This is why we're going to win this game. Spillane's like, get away from me. I'm going back out there. No, you can't go out there, Robert. You can't walk. He goes out there. He has 12 tackles. Guy's unbelievable this year. So after that, the other big thing that I charted on my phone was you cannot play chess and checkers with Andy Reid at the end of the half. He owns us. Literally owns us. Last drive of the half if he touches the ball. So I'm aware of that. I'm a sports talk host. I think I know what I'm doing. We get the ball at the end of the half, and we don't want anything to do with the ball or the game. And I go, no, please don't do this. What could we be doing? And someone says to me, well, we get the ball to start the third quarter. I go, I'm aware of that. What are we doing? We're trying to kill the clock instead of score? Yes. All right, let me pause. I'm getting a little worked up again. Let me pause. Why would we do that? Well, the coach mentioned it. We'll get to the sound. I respect the hell out of the coach. They just wanted to get to halftime. They were done. They didn't want to give Kansas City the ball back so Kansas City could score a touchdown. Now, I don't gamble, and I've never placed a bet, and that fascinates people. Because we live in a town now where every beautiful woman or degenerate guy has a gambling website, and they can't pick 3 out of 10 games. But they just put on more makeup, or they just tell you how great they are at picking games. I don't gamble. But there's a term in Vegas called scared money doesn't win. So if you go to the craps table or roulette or your blackjack and you're with your buddies and some guy's like, I can't afford to lose. I can't afford to lose this money. People say, well, scared money doesn't win. Are you telling me we went to the end of the first half in our building? Here's the big caveat with a 2-5 record. Now, if we were 4-3 or whatever the record could be, if we were 4-2, whatever it is, I'd be willing to play chess or checkers. I'd be like, well, wait a second. We got a long season. We're even with Kansas City. We're a game up on the Chargers. We're a game up on Denver. Maybe we shouldn't give the ball to Mahomes because he'll get it and torch us. And we'll kind of lose the game. No. We're one of the worst teams in football record-wise. We have nothing to lose. We're at home. Right? So we're going to go for it and try to get a guy who can kick 55-yard kicks, Carlson, blindfolded. We're going to get him in field goal range, and we're going to try to kick a field goal because we can't go the length of the field. It's like impossible. But we're going to get a field goal out of this, and we're going to get the ball. We shut the tent down, shut the card table down, shut everything down right there. I said, oh. So the tweet said, my tweet said, the last 2 minutes of this half is disturbing because I knew what was going to happen. Right then I said, we don't want to win the game. We're too nervous of losing the game. We're trying to play chess with Andy Reid. Don't play chess with Andy Reid. When the chess table goes up in the park, just keep walking. Don't play chess with him. Go for the other guy. Go for the degenerate with the dirty white sneakers in the casino. Go play him. And we give the ball to them. They get a field goal. Okay, fine. Manageable score. We come out after halftime. Holy God. We have halftime adjustments. We script our halftime. We're coming out. Rah, rah, high fives, everyone. Let's go out there. We go 3-out. You got to be kidding me. Ball game. We didn't want to win the first half. We didn't want to compete. We did not want to compete. We come out. We don't have any adjustments. We go 3-out. We had a window to score at the end of the quarter, get a drive going in the third quarter. We lost that game again. That game of chess, horribly. Lost that game. Shut up the chessboard. Move on. Walk out. You just lost. But we're still in the game. So then the biggest moment of the game. Trayvon Merrick picks off a ball, makes it unbelievable. It was a tip play. The ball came to him. Chris in West Oakland's on hold. He's going to love that. Chris wants every interception to be a dive, which is Mike Haynes or Lester Hayes. If the ball tips and falls right at you, Chris doesn't love that. But we got one of those plays. We did. We get the ball to the 3-yard line. Here we go. First and goal at the 3. We line up in shotgun. I am not making this up. We line up in shotgun and hand it off up the middle. Now let's stop and pause the show. We hand it off up the middle, and there's a guy named Chris Jones, who is the greatest defensive tackle since Aaron Donald, and we run it right at him. And I say to my son, wait a second here. My son played offensive lineman. He was a backup at Bishop Gorman. He got a state championship ring. He was a grinder. Good kid. Played hard, but he wasn't going to Alabama or Tennessee. And I look at my son, and I go, did we actually think our center and our guard, we're going to move Chris Jones and run off of Chris Jones' shoulder for a touchdown, starting the play 6 yards deep in a shotgun? And my son goes, yeah, that's what they tried to do. Okay, it's second down. What are we going to do second down? Well, I know what we should do. We should throw a fade to Brock Bowers, right? Put him wide where the safety can't double him because we're on the 3. So he's one-on-one, put him wide, and just throw a fade to Brock Bowers. Aggressive play, 50-50 play, but let's just get Brock going because he hasn't touched the ball for a while. We don't do that. We run it again. Okay, on third down, insanity breeds insanity. On third down, we decide to run it again. And I heard the morning show talk about this and other people. Well, last week, we threw it 3 times, the caller said. And this week, we ran it 3 times because we don't know what you want to do. You're right, caller. That's why we take calls at 702-365-9200. Third down, we don't get any yards. So, vintage JT the Brick in the third person. I'm standing there. I don't elbow my wife, but I tap her and I go, look at the clock. She hates when I do that. I go, look at the clock. Not the game clock, the play clock. Tick, 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 tick. So it gets to 5. It gets to 5. It's 4th down. I'm screaming from my seat. Timeout! Timeout! You don't want to burn a timeout against Kansas City. You have to right there. The play clock gets down to 0. We get the playoff. They snap it to Gardner. I still don't know if it was. I don't even know what it was. He caught the ball. It was a jailbreak. Kansas City came and he got sacked or lost yardage, and he ended up falling down on the 9-yard line when it was 1st and goal at the 3. No points. I would have took the 3 on 4th down because we were so inept on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. You ask yourself, why does Antonio Pierce kick field goals? And I often tell you, he does it when we have penalties. Penalties on 3rd down where we go backwards, and he goes, oh, my God, just kick it. And he's right. I agree with that because most of the time you have a bad play, you don't want to. We came away with no points. So on 7 plays total in the game, Amber Theo Harris said this, from the 4-yard line in, we were 0-for-7, and we didn't score. And I'm sitting there going, what's the big deal? So to finally wrap this up, I'm going to say something that I've never been more right about in my career. Never been more right about. Because you know I'm right about putting your hands on Kelsey. No one does that. No one does it. I say it. No one puts their hands on Kelsey. This to me was a joke. He had 12 targets. 12 targets because we played some type of zone against him. Zone against Kelsey. There's something called the Jordan rules. You can play zone against the rest of the Bulls. You play Jordan straight up. Okay, you think we do something different when Jordan has the ball. We didn't do anything different with Kelsey. This is what we've gotten beat by every time he's ever played a game in our building. And we did not learn from that at all. I am shocked by that. I'm not horrified. I'm not pissed. I'm not angry. None of that. I am literally just shocked by going into a game where we did not respect Travis Kelsey enough. He owns us. He owns us. He came into our building again, and we let him run loose in the middle of the field. I am shocked by that. But I'm almost more shocked by this. We let Brock Bowers down. I said, don't do that. said on this show in this studio, don't let him down. Like we did Michael Mayer under Josh McDaniels. And we wish Michael well, whatever he's going through. None of my business. None of my business. Please don't ask me. I know nothing, I swear. We let Michael Mayer down last year because when we threw him the ball, he caught it. And then he disappeared for days and games because we wouldn't throw the ball back to him. And that was really bad. I was very aware of that. And we had a game where Brock Bowers got 5 targets and only 5 receptions, and we forgot about Brock Bowers. How did we do that? How did we let Brock Bowers down and not get him the football the entire game? What could have possibly went through the play caller's head? What possibly could have went through any coach's head to not continue to go back to Brock Bowers or Jacoby Myers when they got off and they were playing decent? And then you want to establish the run, and your feature running back had 14 carries for 15 yards. As Rich Gannon today on TV said, it's 1.1 yard a carry, but we are trying to prove that we're going to run it because we're tougher than you. And Kansas City's just going, please do that. Please do that. Because you're now kicking our ass in the passing game. You don't have Rich Gannon, Jim Plunkett, Ken Stabler. You got Gardner Minshew, and he's kind of completing balls, but you're purposely stopping the momentum and handing the ball up the middle so we can rest, get our personnel in, have 40 seconds off to rest, and you're going to continue to run the ball when you know you can't do it. That's what we did. We only lost by a touchdown. Only lost by a touchdown, and we were at the goal line. So give us, do me a favor as I wrap up the monologue. I want to get to your calls. Do me a favor here. Let's assume for a second we scored running the ball at first and goal at the 3. Let's give us that. That there was a good block. You know, we don't have Josh Jacobs, but we score. Might have won the game. Might have won the game. There are a lot of other things that we did in the game that we could have won the game. And we lost the game by 1 score. We got a backdoor cover in the gambling sense. So I think I gave you everything that I saw from a play-calling perspective. The play-calling was very weak. It deserves to be debated on this show. Please don't make it personal. And don't. This is not the Fire the Guy show. I've told you that from day one. We're not that show. But sound off like you got a pair. Chris in West Oakland on a Monday. Go ahead.
JT, you're pretty right on it. First off, let me tell you something. You're wrong. I love the tipped interception. I love any kind of interception. That's all we seem to get, though. I just want to see them be able to make more plays on the ball. But I've been saying for a month, we need to help the offense set them up with a short field. Well, we can't do anything more than that, and we saw how that worked out. I'll get to that in a minute. Let me get to Pierce real quick. One, you're right, JT. I'm with you. You can't say this team doesn't come out ready to play. They were right there. They went. Yeah, they gave up a touchdown, but hell, you're playing Mahomes and the Chiefs. Went right back down the field and tied the game. Every week this team comes out, they come out of the tunnel ready to play. I don't think that's an issue with Pierce. I want to hit on something, JT, and it's a small thing, and it probably didn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but like the end of the first half, some of his clock management. Even at the end of the game, when the Raiders scored to make it 27-20, there was 2:03 left. You got to kick the ball out of the end zone there, JT, because now the Chiefs run a play, and the 2-minute warning stops the clock. By kicking it short of the goal line, you ran it up to the two-minute warning. At that point, the Chiefs, all they had to do was take a knee. The Raiders had no chance. Yeah, they had very little chance, but if you get a stop, you might get the ball back with 30 or 40 seconds left. Maybe there's a miracle, but an onside kick there runs the clock to the 2 minutes as opposed to kicking the ball out of the end zone completely takes a chance of ever getting the ball away again. Again, it's a small thing. New coach, hopefully it's something he learns about. You're right, JT, they could have won this game. They did most everything they needed to do. They got a big turnover, set the team up on a short field, but again, we're going to talk about it. It's not the elephant in the room. Everybody's talking about it. I'm not going to get on here and call fire Getsy, fire the coach and staff. But I do think it might be time to get somebody else to call the plays. We've seen this enough. I hate to say this. We're not even at Thanksgiving, JT, and let's be realistic. This team ain't going to the playoffs. Is there anybody that realistically thinks they can go 8-1 or 7-2? I hope so. And I'm not talking about tanking. That's disrespectful to the coaches and the players that show up every week and try to play. That's not what I'm saying. But we're already at this point. And when it comes to Getsy, one thing as a fan, JT, I trust what my eyes tell me, not what my heart says. What I want and what I see are two different things. I said this the day they hired Getsy. Why? Okay, we'll give him a shot. But he didn't have a great track record in Chicago. He doesn't have a great track record here, other than the scripted plays. I don't know what happens once they get off script. But for Christ's sake, you're right. How do you forget about Brock Bowers, who is clearly your best option at this point? You get the ball on the goal line and you run. Like I said, I don't even know what that last play was on fourth down. Was that going to be a read option, a bootleg? But they never tried anything out of the box. How about a tackle eligible? How about a bootleg? You know, let's roll one way and hit Brock the other way or dragging across the middle. Do something that makes the other team think. Because like Gannon said before, I don't know if it's we're going to prove you're tougher, because a lot of this falls on Pierce and always talking about we're a running team. We want to be a running team. Well, you know what, Antonio? You're not. We're not a great passing team, but we're a much better passing team than we are a running team. And that play sequence on the goal line, I'm not going to say it lost them the game totally, but it damn near did, because you take the lead there. Who knows what happens? You are in the stadium, JT. Is there anything that sucks the air out of the stadium more than to get the ball on the freaking 2-yard line and don't score? And I'm with you 1,000%. They looked so bad on those three plays. I wanted to see them kick a field goal just because I didn't have any faith that they were going to score on the fourth down play. So, again, I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm not going to get on here and say, hey, it's time to tank. Yeah, we know we need a quarterback. Again, I'm with you 1,000%. I know how you operate on the radio. You know how I am as a fan. I'm not sitting here saying, let's tank the season. But I don't know where we go from here, JT, because frankly, as a Raider fan and as a, like you say, dip the show in reality, this season is over, JT. If the playoffs are the ultimate goal, it is over before Thanksgiving. I mean, before Halloween. I don't see any way in hell this team can go 7-2 at a minimum, and probably better than that to have to make a run. So, again, I don't admire your situation. Now you've got to do a radio show. I know how Raider Nation's going to be. I know how some of the crazies are going to get on here and talk and scream and holler, and you're going to have to cut people off because they're just going to get stupid with some of the things they say. So, again, man, I'm at a loss for words. I know I've said a lot of words. I don't know what else I can say, my friend, other than I'm glad my basketball season started.
Well, come out for a game. Come out for a game. Sit with me. We'll have some beers. We'll have some Modelos. We'll have a cigar. We'll go see our friends at the Black Hole, because you and I aren't quitting. You said it all. You support the team through thick and thin. We know this is not a playoff team now or a Super Bowl team, and fight for every game every week and try to enjoy yourself a little bit, because I'm not going to sit here and be miserable 7 days a week. I got a show to do. I think the Raiders can win some games. I want to see some new personnel. I agree with you. I think the play caller needs to be changed as of now, whoever they want to do. And I think there's going to be some changes being made that could make some of the games more competitive. That's it. Other than that, I'm just going to go week to week. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate Chris in West Oakland. I mean, what are you going to do? We don't cancel our programming. We don't cancel our programming. We do Raiders, and we get ready for Cincinnati. I'll either get ready for Cincinnati on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever you tell me. If you want to sit here and blank and moan for 2 days, which I think you can, and you're allowed to do, you can do that. We can do that for 2 days, and then I'll move on to Cincinnati on Wednesday. I'm upset that the Raiders could have won the game and lost. I'm upset that the Raiders should have won the game in Denver and lost. I'm upset that the Raiders should have beat the Rams, who had an historically low passing game with Matthew Stafford, and we lost. I'm sickened that we lost to Carolina with Andy Dalton. I was pretty happy when they beat the Ravens and the Browns. Cincinnati hasn't won a home game this year. They're pretty much out of it. A lot of teams are going through this. Dallas, the Jets, the Raiders. There's like 7 or 8 teams now that are looking at themselves going, as Chris said, we're not even at Halloween. Oh, how did this happen? Well, it happened for us in three waves. Give me a second here, Bobby. It came in three waves, the Raiders this year. Three waves. Wave number one, the schedule. Schedule was hard. It was packed early hard. It's pretty hard now. But they gave us the Harbaugh brothers on the road. You know, the long travel to Baltimore. Right, all this stuff. The schedule wasn't really good, Raider friendly. But, hey, you got to play your schedule. Number two, decimated by injuries. Malcolm Kuntz, Christian Wilkins, Epps gone for the year. And our defense is playing pretty well. It's playing pretty good. Not great. But we don't have Epps, who played in the Super Bowl for Philly. We don't have Wilkins, who made all the money in the offseason. And we don't have Kuntz, who could have had 11 or 12 sacks this year if healthy. Everybody would have told you that. So that hurt. But the most important thing that's happened now is our quarterback play. We don't even have average quarterback plays. And we had two pretty good quarterbacks. For Aiden O'Connell, he didn't get a chance to start. I supported Gardner starting. I think most people supported Gardner starting. I mean, I don't think many people are going to die on the hill for Aiden O'Connell the way they would die for Derek Carr. But I thought it was a good move to go with Gardner. And Gardner has played mostly bad football. Even yesterday, he was playing okay. And on a 2nd-and-3, he coughed up a fumble, really, which was he basically gave up a fumble that if you ran that play with that coverage and the defender lying on him, 93 times out of 100, he wouldn't have fumbled. He just would have fell down and he fumbled, and it changed the game again. There are a lot of things going wrong. And then as I add into the layers of the show today, the play calling right now is as bad as I've ever seen it. It's that bad. I don't think it's all on the play caller. I think a lot of it has to do with personnel. A friend of mine who worked the game yesterday texted me in the middle of a monologue. He said, quote, to my count, we run 8 jumbo plays, jumbo packages, right, with the extra tight end, the run plays, basically telling you you're going to run the jumbos. And that doesn't count with Mumford split out wide twice. What the hell was Thayer Mumford doing split out wide at the wide receiver position? What was that all about? So the running game is the worst in football. The play calling's really bad right now. And the sad thing for me, which is sad, is that they don't have any plays to run with confidence, and they're missing the fact that you don't have to be confident to get the ball to Brock Bowers. Make a T-shirt out of that. I'll pay for it. You don't have to be confident to throw the ball to Brock Bowers. Say it with me. You don't have to be confident to throw the ball to Brock Bowers. Just throw it to him. And maybe, because I talk to Coach Pierce every week, maybe this week the coach will tell the play caller, you're not allowed to do this anymore. You have to get the ball to Brock Bowers 12 targets a game or you're in my office. 12 to 13 a game, or we're sitting down having a really tough conversation. Let's start there. We let down Brock Bowers yesterday. We let him down. He's playing against Travis Kelce. They exchanged jerseys after the game. Kelce got 12 targets. Brock got 5. Brock's the only weapon we have. Mahomes has 12, including himself. And we let Brock down. I hope we don't let him down again. He's a fine young man. He's one of the best players in the league. I hope we don't let him down like we did yesterday. I hope we don't. Because he deserves better. He deserves more targets. I don't think there's anything wrong with me suggesting that. I think you all agree on that. Our monologue was brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. It's the number one beer. The number one beer in America is Modelo. Let's start fighting with the spirit of Modelo, please.
Takes the snap. Here comes the blitz. Up the middle. Throws it to the back corner. It's bobbled and caught. Touchdown, Raiders! Jacoby Myers, welcome back to the lineup. He caught it in the R in Raiders on the left side of the end zone. Bobbled and brought it in, coming to the turf. And the Raiders, with an answer of the Chiefs' opening drive score.
Jason Horowitz, I'll tell you, he had a good game yesterday. I listened to his highlights as we prepped the show. He's a hell of a voice of the Raiders. He's got good energy, down and distance, tells you the play, very good. It was good to see him and his wife yesterday. They were out there, a lot of good friends. I thought the energy was great. Are there too many Chief fans? Yeah, there's too many Niner fans. There's too many Steeler fans. We get it. We get it. I can't change it. I can't change it. They got me on the field with the microphone. They got me at the torch. I'm trying to do my best on the show. I can't change the airport. And I got to tell a big story about the airport. I'm going to tell the story. I told it last night, and people liked it a lot. I'm going to tell you the story about me and my son on Friday in L.A. for the Yankee game coming up here in a little bit. I kept a guest off the air today. Every Monday or so, we have Harry Ruiz and we have Mark Anderson. I told Bobby this morning, give those guys a break. Give them a bye week break. We're good. We'll have some good calls coming up here. And, you know, Cisco just sent me a text. The entire Bowers family was at the Black Hole yesterday at the tailgate at Whiskey. It looked to be about 30 people, 24 to 28, whatever people. The entire Bowers family, Mr. and Mrs. Bowers, they're all wearing 89 jerseys. They're embracing the Raiders and the Black Hole and all that. That's pretty cool. So I'm happy that's happening there. They all look like pregame. They're all in 89 jerseys. Outstanding. And again, I'm not going to take back what I said. I think that they let down Brock yesterday because they didn't get him the ball for almost two quarters in a game where he started off really good. And don't tell me anything about the coverage and Steve Spagnuolo. He didn't take him away. We decided not to throw to Bowers. That's our decision. It's not Steve Spagnuolo building a wall around Brock Bowers where Bowers can't get open because Steve Spagnuolo took him out of the game the way Belichick took him out of the game. They didn't take him out of the game at all. And we didn't take Kelce out of the game. We didn't even put our hands on Kelce. It was one of the most disappointing coverage games I've ever seen in Kelce's run, and I've seen every one of them. Every one, twice a year. And every year I say the same thing on the pregame, and I say it afterwards, why didn't we guard Kelce? Why didn't we do it? Because someone just believed that the system of getting violent with him and physical wasn't going to work with him at all. That's it. I don't know how you run a play with Thayer Mumford, two of them out wide. I don't get that. You're not tricking anybody. You don't have the personnel to trick anybody. Just run crossing routes with Jacoby and Brock and run them often. And also yesterday at the game, talking to a high-ranking Raider alumni, made a very good point to me, said, you know, this is a Raider player that played in the 70s and said, quote, we only ran a few plays. And when they were successful, we ran them again. I said, excuse me? They said, yeah, we had like four guys running routes. It was the same plays. There were about six plays that came off those four guys. And from time to time, we'd tell the other guy, you go run the play that he's supposed to run, but he's going to run your play in the same down and distance. So follow me here. It's 2nd and 9. If you got Biletnikoff, Branch, Casper, whoever you got four guys running the route. They ran that play all the time. And they ran it when they were successful, hold on, again and again. They didn't go, oh, we ran that 15-yard out to Freddie. No, then they'd have Freddie run Cliff's route, and then Cliff would run Freddie's out, or Cliff would run the go. And they didn't overthink it. And I said to the gentleman who didn't play offense, he played defense, I said, didn't the other team pick up on it? And he said, no, you're missing my point. We ran a certain amount of plays that were basic, but all four guys could run each other's route. And then the light bulb went off in my eyes. I go, oh, you mean it's only four or five plays that work? Yeah. And all four guys can run every other guy's position play. Then it hit me. Wow, you can line up Bowers at tight end. You can line him in the slot. You can line him out wide, and he can do whatever everybody else does. He can run Jacoby's route. So follow me here. You can tell Brock Bowers during the game, Brock, we want you to run Jacoby's signature play. You know what that play is. It's this block release, or it's Jacoby running free, cutting across the middle, but then going up. You know that. Yeah, I know that play. You run it. You go to Jacoby, and then Jacoby, we're going to put you over where Brock is, and we're going to run you that 8-yard button hook that we run to Brock. You guys go switch it. We can't do that. We can't do that. We just don't have the guys to do it, the personnel, I guess, to do it, and the confidence to do it. But all the plays are up in Mr. Davis's vault. They're all up there. You can run the same plays that Flores ran when he was the offensive coordinator. They're all there. They don't have to be redone. You don't have to rewrite them. You can name them something different, but they're ready to go. Antonio Modesto on the Raiders mobile app. Hello.
Hey, JT. Hey, good seeing you yesterday. Hey, real quick, I got to touch on Friday real quick. I know exactly how you feel. I know the scenario. It's been 35 years. Forget the tuck. Forget the Kyrie Irving dagger in Oakland. The 88 game will haunt me forever, so I just wanted to get that. I know that how you said about it. I didn't get a chance to listen to you yesterday. But yesterday, we had a phenomenal day. There was a South Carolina family from South Carolina next to me, a family from Canada next to me, and we were going crazy. It was fun, JT.
Nice.
Maybe because I had a couple of screwdrivers, maybe a vodka screwdriver, maybe that helped too. But also, and I want to also point out one other thing. I know you don't want to talk roster, so I'll leave it alone. But
you can talk roster. You can talk roster. I just don't want to talk our next year's third-round pick. We don't know who's going to be. But you can talk anything you want on the roster.
Well, on the roster, I'll say I got a chance to meet Mervin Fernandez yesterday, about 6'2". DJ Turner and Trey Tucker, they're quick, but they're so small in the line. But I'll leave that alone. Jim Plunkett yesterday, Jim Plunkett's walking by me. I said, Jim, thanks for the memories. And he looks at me and goes, let's make some more memories. So
right.
I just want to leave it at that, man. That was a great time. The stadium's phenomenal. It's my fourth, fifth time being at the game. Do I like the way Tim's 55-year fan here? You know what? I had a great time. Just want to say I had a great time at
Good.
The game.
Good seeing you.
I appreciate all the hard work you guys do. Thanks, JT.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming out to the Torch, man. It means a lot to us. We were bombarded at the Torch yesterday. Bombarded at the Torch. He said that he had a vodka screwdriver. I hope it was a Tito's. You know, Tito's is a proud partner of our show. The original handmade vodka. Wow, you want to talk about a successful company and vision and what they do in the community and what they do nationally? They're a fantastic company to be partnered with. My go-to is Tito's handmade vodka. Good to see you having a cocktail at the Raiders game. Make it a Tito's. Make it two. We are the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Justin Watson over to the left. Mahomes on third and five. Tyree Wilson coming from behind. And he's got a sack back at the 43-yard line. Tyree Wilson has been getting close all year. He hasn't gotten one until now, and it's a big one with a flag down on the field, too.
Jason Horowitz, voice of the Raiders. We are brought to you by Tequila Commissario. Talking to Gavin Maloof about this brand, it is incredible. It is now the brand I have in my home. The bottles look like artwork. When people come in, I give them a tasting, get cocktails at my home. You can get it throughout the valley here. Ask for it when you're at any casino. Any Raider fan who listens, I can't tell you how honored I am to have Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas, as a proud partner of our show. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a guy that likes a lot of different product on this show if you listen. But this Tequila Commissario, it'll blow you away. The people that I've had in my house, friends, family, relatives, people come in who like tequila. I pour them a taste, and they go, I've never had anything this great. I'll have another. Tequila Commissario, proud partner of the show. The Blanco, the Añejo is fantastic. The Reserve is the greatest tasting tequila I've ever had. Tequila Commissario, proud partner of Raider Nation Radio. Orlando is out in Connecticut on the mobile app. Go ahead.
Hey, JT. Thanks for taking my call, brother. Okay, a couple things from yesterday. Super proud the way the team came out, competed. You could tell we're a couple of players away. Not happy about Kelce. I mean, it's just over and over. It's simple stuff. Get your hands on him. Slow him down. He's not running by anybody nowadays. The play calling was, you know, again, an issue. My biggest thing is the third down conversions. Like, we were solid all year.
Yeah.
We lost contain throughout the game. I mean, Max was liable for a few downs, a spin move. Like, that's the guy you got to contain. As much as you don't want to, you got to keep that guy in the pocket. And the last thing I want to say, JT, you know, of course, I'm still on board. Those are my guys. They're my guys. I live or die for the Raiders. But, you know, everyone's calling for the play caller's head. And, you know, there were some sketchy things going on. But when you look at the roster, the coaching staff, JT, who are we going to? You going to Joe Philbin?
Yeah, Joe Philbin's been a head coach in this league.
Right.
And about you can go
him
there.
And Marvin Lewis. So my concern is with those two guys, as much as experience they have in that building with Marvin Lewis and Joe Philbin and Tom Coughlin, why is there not changes going on with Getsy?
Because I believe they believe that they have a scenario with Getsy where they see him in meetings and they see him with the players and at practice and what he's dealing with. Every coach on this staff is accountable. I don't know all of them, but I know a few of them really good. And when they lose, they take it personally. And they believe they can fix it. And they believe they can go back into the office, back in the lab, break down the film and fix it. There are no excuses in the NFL. But I will tell you this, and it's going to sound like an excuse. When everybody's hurt, the coaches are not at complete fault. They don't have the players that can do this. We're starting two rookies on the offensive line. Getsy would probably like to have five veterans. Some of the veterans that he had to play weren't very good when they got chances to play. The quarterback scenario, you know, Luke Getsy, for all the criticism you're giving him, the last two quarterbacks he had in the NFL were Tyson Bagent and Gardner Minshew. This is a guy who was there with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Oh, I can't wait to get to Green Bay, to Aaron Rodgers next hour. Oh, so Devontae Adams with all those Taco Bell commercials running, where he looks kind of angry in every commercial. It's a weird commercial because he's upset in all the commercials. They put a Taco Bell in his house. And the image of the house is in Summerlin. It's like one of those modern southwestern houses. And now he's with the Jets. And again, we wish Devontae well when he left. I didn't like how he left. But Devontae went to chaos. And the New York media is much more difficult than this media. Oh, we got good members of the media here. Some. New York's media. Man, the wolves are at the door. So Aaron Rodgers and Devontae season is over. It's over. They know it's over, and I think it's going to get really chippy in New York with both of them, I can promise you that. My World Series story, for you Dodger fans, you want to stick around for that. And coming up next, Sam Munson will join us, so we'll go around the league.